Saturday with Katie Hannan on RTE Radio 1.
Minister Eamon Ryan, listening to Cillian de Gascoigne there about those cases that we now know have arrived here from Brazil. They are as a result of travel. Luckily, they were responsible, obviously, and quarantined from their arrival in the country. But it does indicate how serious this issue is and how urgent it is. So what is the timeline now for the delivery of mandatory quarantine?
We do have mandatory at the moment. Anyone travelling into this country has to quarantine. Those who come from 20 countries that are listed by the CMO have to mandatory quarantine for a full 14 days. And within a short number of weeks, they will have to mandatory quarantine within a hotel. Those others have to quarantine. They can release from that after 5 days if they have a PCR. So we do have mandatory quarantine. And as Cillian said, in this instance, the system did work in terms of they were identified and the testing showed it and it's not in the community. So
but do you accept, though, that as a system, that would not be, you would not have full confidence that that would work in every case? So we are, we have committed to doing this hotel quarantine system. So what is the timeline for that?
Well, it'll be introduced in the Dáil next week. We have to, it does need debate in the Dáil and in the Seanad. There are civil liberties and other issues. It's not insignificant legislation, but I would imagine very quickly, within a short number, week or two, I would expect, it would be through the Dáil, through the Seanad and up and running. But in the meantime, not only do we have that system, but the guards are checking. Like the guards will call to the house of the people who were in those circumstances to check that they are where they say they are. And public health will follow up in terms of making sure we do the tests. And as I said, in this instance, that system worked.
Have we secured accommodation for this hotel quarantine?
Not yet, but the first thing has to be the legislation through. But at the same time, the contract arrangements will be put in place.
It's just people will listen to this and they will have been listening to Cillian talking about the three cases of the Brazilian, another three cases of the South African variant found, and, you know, understanding that this is an issue that's here at present. Is there the right sense of urgency around this?
Complete and utter. And it has to be coordinated. It is coordinated with the European Centre of Disease Control. So they gave advice on Monday. So we're following that. It is coordinated with the UK because we do have an issue of a border on the island. And in managing that, to follow a two-island strategy is the best, safest way of making sure we do. So they're very similar arrangements that they're applying. But we cannot be urgent. I mean, there cannot be enough urgency in this because as we roll out the vaccines, we want to protect against those variants.
Jennifer Whitmore, do you believe that there is enough urgency around this issue?
No, we're a year into this COVID pandemic and we're still having the same conversations now that we had 6, 7, 8 months ago. We're into our third phase. The second phase was as a result of travel. The Social Democrats have been raising this issue frequently in the Dáil, calling for much, much stronger restrictions on travel coming into the country, and the government has done nothing on it. To say that we have a mandatory quarantine system at the moment is laughable. It is a voluntary system. You know, we are lucky that those three people who have been identified with the Brazilian variant, we're really lucky that they followed procedures and did the right thing. But there will be people coming into the country who won't do that. And I don't think we can say that because we tell them to stay in their rooms for 2 weeks, that we can be assured that that's going to happen. You know, a lot of these people are living in overcrowded facilities and, you know, 4 to 6 to 8 people in one room. Many of them are working in jobs where they don't have sick pay and may be afraid to actually take time off work. I think it is... Yeah, I'm baffled, you know, that we are so far into this pandemic and we're still having the same conversations. And people, our communities are doing absolutely what they need to do. They're doing what they're absolutely trying their best. But people are struggling. It is really hard now. And we need to see the government step up. We need to see leadership and we need to see a strong response to this. And we haven't seen that so far.
Can I bring in Piers Doherty, who's joining us from our Donegal studio? Piers, on that issue of the level of urgency around this and the fact that this may be some weeks yet, obviously, to get this legislation through the Dáil.
Yeah, well, look, everybody, I think, bar Eamon Ryan and his cabinet colleagues, recognise that the government haven't dealt with this with urgency or indeed in the appropriate way. We have to remember that it was back on May the 8th of 2020 that NPHET recommended mandatory quarantine. It didn't happen right through 2020. And now into February of 2021, we're still a number of weeks away before that becomes operational. And what we've got now, and those three cases are being detected. But the point that Killeen de Gascoigne made is there may be people who have not come forward. And that is the fear here. We now know that there is a strain in the state that has been detected. But what are those who haven't come forward? And that's why we argued, because the government haven't done mandatory quarantine, because they didn't get they hadn't any draft, any legislation or any operational, that we should have had a travel ban as soon as we knew about the Brazilian variant. That hasn't happened. But and let's remember, and this isn't about scaring people, but what you know, there was a communication sent out to 1,900 people who travelled from Brazil into the state between the Christmas period and the second week of January. 2 weeks later, two out of three of those hadn't come forward for testing. And that's the problem. That is why you need to introduce mandatory, either a travel ban or mandatory quarantine. So we still have a half-baked attempt from government. We've still got draft legislation that was published late last night. We still don't know when it will be operational, when people will actually be in these centres. And what we have is we still have it only applying to a limited number of countries, where it should now apply right across the board for all non-essential travel into the state. And I think, you know, it's really, really frustrating for people, because they're hearing all of the leaks and the different views from government ministers about when the restrictions are going to end or how long they're going to last. And it's really great on people. But what they do expect is they're being asked to do, to step up and do their bit, which they have been doing, to suppress the virus and get the numbers as low as we can. They expect the government to be competent, to be coherent, and for Eamon Ryan to be saying that there has been complete and utter urgency in this issue isn't just laughable, it is really disappointing, and it will really grate on people today who have made huge sacrifices out there.
Okay, well, this is one person it is grating, and Deirdre and family from Glasnevin has texted to say, Katie, it's so frustrating. We are so slow, and we did more for the foot and mouth. The government is too slow, too indecisive, fed up to my teeth, as are all my family and friends. We do our bit, and they are not doing it. The government needs to go, says Deirdre. There is that sense of frustration out there, Minister, that certainly in relation to the travel issue, that people have been looking at this and talking about it and debating this for months now. And yet here we are, and we still can't give us a date for when mandatory hotel quarantine will be in place.
Everyone is absolutely frustrated. It is the beyond doubt that is the most, it's the hardest thing. But as soon as we heard of that variant, the UK variant, the next day we stopped travel to the UK. As soon as we heard of the Brazilian variant, we stopped visas coming in from Brazil. What we're doing is from health advice. It is Ronan Glynn.
So what is the current situation in relation to arriving, travelling from Brazil to Ireland?
You can't get just a travel visa to come to Ireland. If you're coming back, let's say you're an Irish person, in those circumstances, as in the UK, we would provide for those residents, and they too will have to stay in a hotel quarantine. But just, can I just make the point? What we're doing is on the back of the health advice. It's listening. That's where we have to listen to. And as much as we can debate here and say, OK, we could do this, I could do that, what our job is to do work with the likes of Killeen de Gascoigne and say, OK, what's the best thing to do here? We will do it straight away. We'll be fully committed. There's no shortage of resources or political commitment at all to follow the best health advice and how we manage this. And that is what we are doing. And that's what we're doing, because it's in the public health interest that we have to follow.
Okay. Katie, can I call that out, please? Because that's completely disingenuous, and people can look at the records. On the 8th of May last year, 9 months ago, Eamon, NPHET recommended mandatory quarantine. That was the public health advice. It was ignored. It was disputed. It wasn't implemented by the government. NPHET have also called for a second PCR mandatory test. Again, the government are ignoring that requirement. And again, it is left as an option for people. NPHET have said clearly to government to remove the discretion in relation to this. And there are people travelling in from Brazil currently. And indeed, one in ten of them are testing positive for COVID. There should have been a travel ban implemented immediately when you knew of this new strain, until you got a situation up and running where everybody travelling into the country could have been mandatory quarantine. But you haven't done that. And as a result of that, you put our community efforts at risk
if I can, Katie, I asked NPHET this week in person. I said, is there, okay, now, is there something further we should be doing? Is there further iteration or further change? And they say, no, this is what we should be doing. And
yeah, but they wanted you to do this last year.
I wasn't in government last May, so I can't account for what was said in May. But I can account for what's happening now. And what's happening now is government and the health, the various health authorities, those looking at the issue of variants, we have a special committee meet once a week. It comes back and says, OK, here's what we need to do. It's not the government calling that. We're listening to the health advice in line as well with international health advice, because it has to be done as part of a collaborated effort. That's what's happening. It is not easy. It's deeply frustrating for all concerned. I fully understand and accept that. But there's no shortage of commitment or urgency on anyone's part in this state in terms of what we need to do.
I know you want to get in, Jennifer.
Yeah, Minister, I understand and I know that you weren't in government in May. But surely when you got into government and we could see that we had this second phase that was a result of the UK variant, did you not go back through what NPHET have been recommending and see where are the gaps, where are the things that we can improve, what do we need to do? To say that I wasn't in government at that time is not acceptable. I mean, our whole country is in rolling lockdowns. We have people who are stuck at home, people who can't see family members, and the government is not doing what they need to do when it comes to international travel.
I want to move on to, because I saw you, Minister, on Thursday night on Virgin Media, and you were asked, you know, what was likely to happen in relation to restrictions, and you said you didn't think it would be wise to speculate. And then roll on the next 24, 48 hours, and we've had the Taoiseach talking about significant restrictions to the end of April. We're talking about 9 more weeks of level 5. Then we hear from the Taoiseach again that nothing is set in stone. Then today the Independent quotes 3 ministers as saying there will be no easing of restrictions until May. And then in the last couple of hours, the Taoiseach tells Radio na Gaeltachta that there will be no consideration given to opening up hospitality until midsummer. No. I mean, is this at a time when people need leadership and clarity? We're getting mixed messages and we're getting confusion. Is this any way to go about your business?
The key message is fully agreed right across government, and I'm sure beyond elsewhere as well, is that we still have to be really careful. We're still in a very precarious situation. What Cillian de Gascoigne said earlier, and just go back to what he said, is that R number, 0.6 to 0.85. That goes up to 0.9, 0.95 and so on. That's the real thing we have to watch. And nothing.
Would you acknowledge
the
communications around this has not been good?
Well, you'd always try and look and see. You'd always accept criticism, look to see what can you say better. But the key measure is to recognise it is going to be difficult for the next few weeks. We are not going to see a huge reopening or lifting of restrictions. The key thing we want to get right is the return of students to school, and to monitor and measure that and do it in a phased way. We will then be in a better position to look at what comes next. And please God, that will be a series of kind of lifting of restrictions. But to start talking about that now, or start to be really precise about that now, in my mind, the risk, what that risks is people kind of preemptively thinking, OK, well, I can start increasing my, you know, kind of my level of travel or my level of movements. And that's what we need to avoid.
OK, just let me give you some reaction from the Restaurants Association of Ireland CEO Adrian Cummins to that statement, that comment by the Taoiseach on Radio na Gaeltachta there this morning. He said, this puts restaurants and hospitality businesses closer to financial ruin and meltdown. He said the government now needs to increase the level of business supports for all hospitality businesses in order for the survival of the sector and remain ready to re-employ hundreds of thousands of tourism and hospitality workers currently on the PUP payment. The government now needs to set out clearly what level or percentage of the population will be required to be vaccinated in order to fully reopen all hospitality business. Like, that's the kind of clarity that people out there are crying out for. And yet what they're getting is a little line dropped here, a little bombshell dropped there. It's a very poor way to deal with people who are really hanging on by their fingernails.
They are. That's where I come from. That's my own background, is in small business in the tourism sector. And I know absolutely that they're in actual dire circumstances. We will have to continue the supports that are there, the CRSP payments, the EWIS payments and the other business supports. Just my colleague Catherine Martin just recently launched a whole new kind of additional scheme to target the tourism sector. The Taoiseach to introduce a new scheme, CBAS, to kind of close any of the gaps. So we're going to have to extend those. Even with those, I absolutely fully understand understand businesses are in real difficulty. That's a function of what happens with the virus, really, though, in terms of what we can do here. And we can't. I would love to be able to come in and say, oh, this is the date or this is what's going to happen exactly by this sort of approach. We will have to monitor and review based on the progress that, touch wood, please God, we will make in terms of keeping numbers down.
Jennifer?
I would go much further than saying that the communications have been poor. I think they've been irresponsible. I think to make announcements off the cuff in the media about a further 9 weeks lockdown when, as you say, people are really struggling. I think the government needs to start acting as one entity now and not pulling against each other. That's what right. We're seeing is that there's different messages coming from different ministers. You'd have a minister on one show saying one thing and then half an hour later they're contradicting on a different show. Even your own Green Party TD yesterday said she was no clearer as to what the Taoiseach was talking about in relation to the 9 weeks, and she had no understanding that that was the case. We need a government that's pulling together and that's actually putting the people at the front of this and not internal party and government politics.
That doesn't exist.
That absolutely does. Your own TD said she didn't know what was going on. We'll have the Taoiseach saying one thing, the Taoiseach is saying another, the Minister of Health saying another thing. People need clarity. They need leadership.
Okay, and one thing we definitely need clarity in is schools reopening. And again, there have been various ideas floated out there about timings and what classes would go back at what time and what distance we would need. Can I get your understanding of what we hope will happen now, you know, barring some public health, problem? Roderick O'Gorman was saying yesterday, the first Leaving Cert and the first four younger classes in primary school to go back on the 1st of March. And then the rest of primary school to go back on the 15th of March and then everything being monitored second level after that. Is that your understanding of what the plan is for schools?
Yeah, and it is subject to, as I said, us monitoring. The reason it's being done is a stage basis. And the critical thing here is, Katie, it's not just the schools. It's that what we don't want is when the schools open, it's kind of a signal, oh, traffic's back, everything's back to normal, back to, you know, it's... The concern about schools is it's not so much within the schools themselves, although we have to really monitor that because they've shown that they can be operate safely. The concern is that it would be a signal for the rest of society to kind of, oh, well, it's back to normal in some way. So that's the key issue, is it's the travel to and from and around school and the sense, okay, maybe the public perception would be that it's a slight lifting.
But that's timeline that I set out is your understanding.
As I understand.
OK, I want to bring in Catherine Cox, who's Head of Communications and Policy at Family Carers. Because Catherine, you've been campaigning in particular for children with additional needs who are in mainstream education and you know, really anxious to get these children back in the classroom.
We have, Katie, ourselves and three other disability organisations have been pushing this one. And up to a few weeks ago, that particular group that you talked about, so it's children with special educational needs in mainstream schools, they were being talked about, but they seem to have completely fallen off the page now. We're talking about stage reopening and, you know, we recognise how important it is to get Leaving Cert students back, absolutely. But these children seem to have been forgotten about now. There's no mention of them. We have seen special schools for children with educational needs reopen, but on a phase basis, about 50%. So while we welcome that, it's certainly not enough. But I think for that, this particular group of children who their parents have looked at, you know, putting them into mainstream schools so that they are inclusive, now they're almost being punished because their children have gone to mainstream. So we absolutely need to see these kids get back. Their parents are telling us they are watching them regress before their eyes. And these children, the skills they learn in school, it's not just about maths and English and Irish. They learn life skills. You know, parents have seen their children toileting going backwards. They've seen their feeding skills disappear. And what they've seen reappear are behaviours that challenge because they are so frustrated, their lives are turned upside down. They cannot understand in many cases what this pandemic is. They just know their whole routine is gone.
Okay, Minister, these children, what's the plan for them?
I'm very aware of those children and what that needs are. So absolutely, we have to put them particularly. That will be a matter for the school Minister of Education to make sure that it is done in the appropriate timely manner as the rest of the schools open. But they
are they being considered to go back on March 1st?
I'm going to have to check in that case because I don't know the answer, and I prefer to give an honest answer on that rather than. So I don't have the detail here in front of me, but if it's safe, I certainly would recommend it because I'm very aware of the circumstances.
Yeah, Catherine, is that the date you would like to hear?
We would like to see them get back as soon as possible. They were meant to be back in January, then February. You know, now they're talking about March. And, you know, their supplementary scheme and supports that have been put in the home over the last while, there are huge challenges and limitations around those because many children, particularly with intellectual disability, cannot engage in online learning. So we absolutely need to see those children get back. And we have sought an urgent meeting with Minister Madigan and Minister Foley.
What are they telling you, Catherine?
Well, look, to be honest, we haven't heard from them in about the last 4 weeks. So we did meet with them before that. We saw the special schools reopen a phase basis, but the communication has gone for the last 4 weeks. And as I said, that particular group seemed to have just fallen off the radar, and we just can't allow that to happen. So we are looking and requesting an urgent meeting with them, and we wrote to them yesterday on that again.
Okay. Catherine, you stay with us now because we want to move on to the vaccine
rollout.
Can
I make a point on that?
Yeah, Piers, before we quickly,
go, just because
if you
don't mind. We've had Eamon Ryan just confirm the dates of children going back to school, and I agree completely that these children with special education in mainstream classrooms have been left behind here, have been forgotten about, and we ourselves, through Donoghue Laoghaire, are seeking an urgent meeting with the Minister on relation to this. But this is just another minister now giving us dates. We've had all of this the last week, and what we need is certainty, and what we need is a coherent plan from government. So please, Minister, get your act together, get the government to communicate directly with the public, setting out the dates, and not just, you know, a minister going on another radio station to be contradicted later on, as the Taoiseach did last week, saying it was just a rumour, and then it's back on the table, and then we get leaks from parliamentary party meetings. It's not good enough, because I know as a parent of four young kids, and I'm sure there's a lot of parents out there, people are really struggling with homeschooling. People with children with special needs are seeing their child's regress, and they expect a coherent plan properly communicated with the public as to what's happening in terms of when and how children will be going back to school.
Okay, as I say, I need to move on because I want to get to the issue of vaccine and this new priority list that we understand has been given by NIAC to the Minister for Health, and we're expecting it. Do we know when we will see that priority list, Minister?
No, that continues to evolve every week. What people need to understand about this, I mean, just go back to the schools there. We've only just got agreement with the unions. Now, thank God we did, but it was, and I think it's getting that right is the really important thing now. Same with vaccines. Like, we would have got correspondence this week on the AstraZeneca numbers, which were radically different to what might have been expected a few weeks ago. So they've had to change. Similarly, they had to change 2 weeks ago in terms of the recommendation that came about which vaccines to give to which categories. So it will continue to change. I believe the vaccination priority order will continue to change. There may be particular categories, maybe particular workers, maybe particular areas or sectors. And it's absolutely appropriate that is done because we have to be flexible.
Changed so far. I mean, so far are we not operating on the same priority list as we were?
The first change was to actually put the healthcare workers right at the top because we were in such pressure. The second change was around the age categories, who gets what. The third change was the volume of AstraZeneca dramatically falling. Now, that's in the last 3 weeks. There's been three dramatic changes.
Okay.
And in fairness to the system and to give people confidence in our system, just two or three examples, just because people do need a bit of confidence. Killian de Gascoigne was in here earlier on. We're doing this sequencing to try and find these variants. We're probably one of the top three or four countries in Europe in terms of the number of sequencing tests that we are doing. In terms of vaccine, every single vaccine that comes in is straight out. And even though the numbers have dropped compared to what we would have wanted, and particularly compared to the likes of UK or neighbours, actually, if you look at where are we, just to finish this case, so people have a certain understanding, we're right at the top in terms of European rollout of vaccines. And what I'm hearing from the places like in those GP clinics who are doing a fantastic job to administer to the 85 and overs, it's tough. It's really difficult. And where we make mistakes, you hold your hands up. But there's also examples throughout the state of our public service, particularly our health services, and I would say our education system.
Okay.
Fair play to the unions. They agreed in the end we will open things up. So there are examples where we show we can work through tough situations, which is what we're
okay.
In at the
well, let me just go back to Catherine, because she represents people who are in the toughest of situations.
Agreed.
Family carers, and they have been crying out for people to hear their story and to put them. Catherine. Catherine,
yes.
this is a long-running campaign on behalf of family carers.
It is indeed. I mean, we can go back to the very start of the pandemic when family carers weren't included for a priority for PPE. Then we moved into the stage where carers were not included as a priority for testing. And now we're at the stage where family carers have not been included on priority list for vaccinations. And the biggest two fears family carers have are, first, who cares for their loved one if the family carer themselves gets COVID? And a broader question is, what will the cost be to the state and also to our overcrowded hospitals? That's the first point. The second point, what happens if the family carer gets COVID and, God forbid, gives it to the person they're caring for? Particularly if that person they're caring for is under 16, they will not get a vaccination. They could be medically vulnerable to it, but they won't get it as it stands. The result of that could be fatal. Nobody, no family care, nobody wants to live with that on their hands. The other thing I'd say is that just yesterday, the Minister for Health, Robin Swan, in Northern Ireland, announced all family carers who care for elderly or people with disability in our society will get the vaccination. The same is happening in the UK, other European countries. This is about protecting family carers who have suppressed the virus in their home for the last year. They have done it at a massive impact to their physical and, most importantly, their mental health and well-being. This is about protecting them.
Okay.
But it is also about recognising and valuing the work that they do. And what this says to family carers is, our government do not recognise or value that. So I am pleading with Minister today, Minister Donnelly and NIAC, to put family carers as a priority for vaccination.
Where are you right now, Catherine? Where are carers now on that list?
We are nowhere. We are nowhere. And I'll tell you why. And one of these arguments that has been put forward as to why carers are not on the list is, in fact, Minister Donnelly has said this, carers are a diverse group. So are teachers, so are supermarket workers, so are nurses. So that is not a valid argument. We didn't tell the supermarket workers they have to wait till they're 85 before they'll get a vaccination. So
okay.
Why can we not include family carers as a priority?
Okay, let me put that to the Minister. Minister, it is quite shocking that family carers don't feature anywhere on that priority list.
I absolutely agree that we have to value and family carers, and particularly in circumstances where, as you say, if that care is missing, what would happen then? So there are a whole variety of different circumstances that, yes, we absolutely have to care for. I would say, first of all, we do have to, just in the current circumstances, we do have to prioritise the elderly, because that is the saving lives bit. And that is something that there's an urgency to, particularly when we're in this race. Now, further changes of the list beyond that, I believe will come. And I believe they should come. Do I think that there are instances where their family care should be prioritised? I of course I do, because we all have a heart and understanding of certain circumstances.
Do you expect that to change in the priority list?
Yeah, but I'll have to go to Breen McGrath, because if we came in and said, gave direction to the health authorities in terms of, we want you to change your whole prioritisation order, there's real risk there that would add actually further impossible context to their lives, to their work. They have to make that call.
Okay.
And yes, I would happily represent and argue in favour of family carers in the sort of circumstances that we're talking about. But in the end, we have to follow health advice.
Okay, I'm going to have to leave that there. Catherine Cox, many thanks for that. But going to have to take a break.